It is final segment on a Thursday, and it's crunch time. What do you say we wrap with this?
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
I don't have words today. I used up all my best stuff last week.
If that's your best.
Because it was so lightning round.
So we've been talking about it, but LeVar Ball is charging $495 for his son's Lonzo shoes because he screwed himself out of a real shoe deal with a legit shoe company for shoes that probably aren't going to fall apart in 5 minutes after you wear them. The only time you should really say, well, that doesn't look as bad as I thought it would be, is after eating roasted crickets that the Mariners are pawning off on people in Seattle. People who buy big baller shoes are blank.
Idiots? Suckers. That's better.
That's a good word. The spring game weekend was not only a showing of what Oregon football is going to look like under Coach Willie Taggart, but also off the field as a recruiter. They got 6 recruits over the weekend, and they jumped all the way to 12th in the country. Taggart has battled from the start as a head coach, not only building up a new coaching staff in less than 2 months, but also a recruiting class that was out just inside the top 20 nationally. But isn't it supposed to be hard to recruit to Oregon? How is Taggart making recruiting look so easy for him? Taggart is a super recruiter, and he has a staff of super recruiters. It's still hard to recruit to Oregon. Taggart's just that good. Or B, the previous coaching staff tricked us into thinking it's hard to recruit here, and it's really not that hard.
I've noticed one thing. Before he got the Oregon gig, Taggart was a huge Oregon fan. He believed in this community. He believed in the brand. He talked about everybody knew what Oregon football was, and he looked at Oregon as his gettable job in upgrading from Western Kentucky to South Florida to, this is what I can do when I've got all of this at my disposal. I think he actually is a super duper recruiter.
LeBron passed another all-time great, getting past Kareem, moving into second all-time in postseason scoring. MJ has the record for scoring in only 179 games. LeBron has now played 205 and counting. He's actually played 134 games in the 6 straight years he's made the NBA Finals and scored enough points to be 16th in NBA history, 3 more than Dirk Nowitzki. It's very easy to get lost comparing MJ and Bron on Basketball Reference. LeBron is now 32, the same age as Jordan when he started his three-peat. So fill in the blank. LeBron will win blank more titles in the NBA.
I'm going to say 2 more titles. I think he'll end with 5, which is a nice round figure. Tie him with Magic, a little short of MJ and Kareem.
Fellow CBS Sports broadcaster Tony Romo is attempting to qualify for the U.S. Open. He's actually a pretty good golfer. I've seen him play at the AT&T Pro-Am. He might actually have a better shot at going pro in a different sport rather than Tebow does in baseball. Who plays in a U.S. Open first, Tiger or Romo?
That's a funny question, but I actually think it's got to be Tiger, because I really don't think Tony Romo has a chance at his age to play in a U.S. Open. That's next level stuff. Really interesting question, but I'm going, no, I know what Tiger's eat the young.
Tenonism. Manny Machado has been thrown at a lot by the Red Sox over the past 2 weeks for a slide he apologized for, saying he meant no harm to Dustin Pedroia. Machado's one of the top 10 talents in the game. He's got one more year of arbitration before he's an unrestricted free agent. So taking into account that everything he and his teammates have had to go through the last 2 weeks, what percent chance do you give Machado of staying in the AL East in 2019?
Wow, the Orioles can't let him go. They've got an owner who has spent foolishly on lesser players. I think he's the centerpiece guy, and Angelos, he's going to keep around. So did you say what was the percentage?
Yes.
100.
Wow, all right. So I guess sticking with that, we had a really bad ejection last night with Kevin Gausman throwing a curveball and being ejected immediately because I think the umpires were a little bit afraid of letting things get out of hand, and they figured, hey, let's just get rid of this immediately. What I'm going for here is, what percent chance do you give the MLB of implementing some sort of un-ejection rule for pitchers throwing at players or something like that.
So you're saying even though we tossed them, they could have gone to review?
That if he could have discussed with the other umpires and they would have realized, oh yeah, it was a curveball that got away. I can't tell by the amount of yelling that's happening at me that that was a big mistake. Let's maybe undo this.
Because like what they do with a ref could call targeting, which would lead to a dismissal in football, then they could review it and be like, no, he's not kicked out. I think that makes sense. I think Manfred's heading in that direction. Percentage-wise?
Percentage-wise.
I'm going to give that at least for now 50-50.
All right, and last one. It's kind of like a crunch exchange type question in the lightning round, but, you know, here we go. The Carolina Mudcats third baseman Lucas Ersig pulled off the always fun and elusive hidden ball trick yesterday, and he waited almost a minute before the runner on third finally stepped off and was tagged out. The prospectus, the hidden ball trick is the best play in baseball.
A whole minute. He stood there at third.
It was like 40, 45 seconds.
And so the pitcher was doing what? Did he have a meeting with the catcher?
Killing
was
time.
He working?
Just waiting.
The best play in the game? I'm going to go no, but that doesn't mean it's not an awful lot of fun.